Good morning again, church. It's always such a blessing to be worshiping with you all. I love hearing the praise. I love standing up here right before I come to preach, kind of just closing my eyes and hearing all of your wonderful voices. It's just so amazing to praise the Lord for a little bit and to be able to hear the word preached. But just again, want to just welcome you here. So thankful you are with us. I just want to remind you too, we do meet here at 9:30 every Sunday morning. The volunteers get up here. We're here a little bit earlier. And we are just praying with one another. We're praying for the Lord to do amazing things, for God to work in our location, for Him to work in the sermon that's preached each Sunday, and for all the ministries we have going on. It's been encouraging me a ton just to see the people we have here, to break off into groups and to give our prayer requests to one another. And so I just want to encourage you, if you are willing to get up a little earlier and come up here to the building, be in fellowship, connect, and to pray with one another, you are more than welcomed. We are inviting everybody to it. We make our volunteers come a little early just so we're all prepared. But if you want to just come and pray with someone, if maybe something's on your heart that Sunday or that week, we would love to pray with you and help you get connected. So please, you're more than welcome to come at that 9:30 time. And then just want to continue to shout out, getting connected, the guest services desk, the guest services team. If you need any questions or any help with things that are going on here, please, you are welcome to come to go to that desk and to answer any questions you got. We would love to get connected with you there. Let's pray for the word as it's open and for this sermon this morning. God, we love you. We thank you again so much for who you are and how you're moving in our life. I just pray this morning that you would be here with us as the word is open and as you speak through me, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would penetrate hearts and hear. Leave us here worshiping you and glorifying you more. Lord, we love you so much and pray us all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We are continuing through our Family Month series here at the River. Every February is our Family Month where we focus specifically on families, right? We go through roles in the family. This month we are talking about the foundations of the family. The first week we spoke about wives and their roles within the family. What is the foundation for the wife as the Bible describes it? We went through looking at biblical submission, as it's called there. It says, wives, submit to your husbands. We talked about what that means. What is the truth there? How are we meant to understand that verse? And last week, we went into talking about husbands, how the husband's role is to lead as Christ led, love as Christ loved, laying his life down for his bride. And this week we are talking about something I think is a little unique, and I won't lie, as I was preparing for the message, I was wondering, like, how do we preach this to mostly an auditorium of adults? We're going to be looking at children. What is the role of the children? What's the foundation for the children in the family? So, again, as we keep going through the scriptures, it's so important for us. I think it's going to be good for the kids we have in here to hear, hey, how should we be as family members in the family as kids? And then looking through as parents, how are we meant to raise our kids? What are we meant to lead them in as we are raising them as parents? So we are in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, I want to encourage you again. Guest services desk has a Bible. There's some Bibles behind the chairs. Please feel free, if you don't have one, take that home. I want you reading it. I want us in the Word every day. If you don't have a Bible, you are more than welcome to take that as yours, your own personal Bible. But we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, and it says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I think as Paul starts chapter 6 here in Ephesians, this is such a beautiful address that Paul is giving to children in the congregation. Because this is a really unique thing, because as we look at the context and the culture that Paul was writing into, there's a few really cool things that just simply him saying, children, that address for the family, as he's talking about these foundations, as he's talking about these roles, the very fact that he's saying children, specifically addressing them, shows us a couple of unique things. First, as you study through the culture that Paul is writing in, the Greco-Roman culture and the household codes, the Bible is completely countercultural to that time period. If you look at how the households were set up, husbands were meant to be like the kings and the gods of the house. They got everything given to them, right? Everything they said goes. Their wives were property. Their children were property. Most of the time, their children were slaves, right? This is how it was set up, where the dads were almost the god in the family. Wives were this property that they would accumulate, almost like it's land. And it was like this status symbol to have multiple wives, right? And so this just perversion of what the family is. But for children to be addressed in this culture was never thought about. It was never thought about to address how are the children meant to behave in the family? What are the children meant to do? Because it was just understood. The children just do whatever the dad says. Slaves, almost, right? You don't have a really place until you're an adult in the family. But as Paul hears, he starts this chapter, he's addressing children tenderly. He's saying, children, this is your role in the family. Children, you have a valuable part of the body of Christ. Another unique thing that is seen here as he's writing this, Paul is assuming then that children will be gathered together with the family as they are worshiping. Right? So Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, as he says children here, he's assuming children are going with their parents. Families are going together to worship. Now, I don't think it fully supports the idea where some churches go, all right, get rid of the kids' ministry and let's have everybody gathered in one place and have the children here. I don't know if I'm going to take that step yet. But I think the principle applies where children are still with their families worshiping God. Children have a valuable part. It is as if Paul here is celebrating the children in the church. It's a beautiful address that he gives here. Now, when the letters in the New Testament were written to churches, you had Ephesians written to the church in Ephesus, the Philippians letter written to the church of Philippi, what would happen as the apostles wrote these down and passed these letters out? They would read the letter to the whole congregation. There weren't these chapters and verses that we have now, but they'd get the letter, and the pastor would go in front of them and would read the word. He would read the letter to them. I can just imagine as he gets to this spot where he says, children, addressing them, celebrating them, assuming they're in the worship with the parents. I can imagine as he reads that people would remember what was just read for us in chapter 4, but was read a few pages earlier in that letter. Ephesians 4, verse 16, to go back just a little bit, it says this. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. There Paul is talking about the body of Christ. And what I love about this is that he says every single part, every joint, those who believe in Jesus, when it works together properly, Christ leading us, us fighting for unity, helps build us up in love and in unity and encouragement, all the wonderful blessings as the Bible talks about for the church. But it says every joint, not just the adult joints, not just those that are leading growth communities and the people that we view as leadership, but he's talking about everybody. And so I can imagine as he reads here, right, if the pastor were to read out loud, children, obey your parents, it would call to mind that verse in chapter 4, where he says, children, you are not forgotten. Children, you are valuable. You have a part to play within the body of Christ. This isn't just for the parents, the husbands, the men. It's not just for the couples. All of us have a part here. You are a valuable part in the family and in the church. It's a wonderful address. I hope we as a church celebrate children in this way too. I can remember growing up in a bigger church building. So as any normal kid is in a big building with his friends, what are you going to do? You're going to play tag. Come on. You got a bunch of stairs. You got a bunch of closets to hide in. You're playing tag in that building. And I can remember running around playing tag, and every single time, without fail, I was getting yelled at by probably a handful of people. I can think that's probably true for a lot of kids that grew up in church. But that feeling then, man, it turns them off to the church. Makes them feel not welcome, not valuable. It comes with this context of, like, you know what, children, just be quiet. Don't be who you are. Because, I mean, they're kids. We really expect them to sit still and be quiet for an hour. It takes away this value almost with children. But they're a valuable part of the family. They should be celebrated. But not only that, in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus speaks about something children can teach us as we believe in Christ. He says in Matthew 19, verses 13 through 14, "Then the children were brought to him, that he might lay hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.'" I can just imagine the scene, right? All the crowds, like, so we're in Matthew 19, so we're further along in Jesus' ministry, and Jesus is performing miracles. He is teaching with authority people have never seen before, and I can just imagine all those moms are like, "Get up to him. That's Jesus. You go and say hi to him. Let him pray for you," right? I can know my own mom would be like that. Like, "You get up, get through the crowd. You scurry your way up there. This is Jesus we're talking about." And as this is happening, right, which is wonderful that kids would be going to Jesus, all the disciples were like, whoa, hold on. What, the kids get up here? They're just going to be crazy. They're going to distract from what Jesus is doing, all these awesome things. And Jesus looks at him and goes, "No, let the children come to me." And he says something so powerful. He says, "For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." The truth there is it's those of childlike faith that the kingdom of heaven belongs to. That's what it means to believe in the gospel. To have faith like a child. To just fully understand and believe that Jesus is all that I need. And our Lord here is saying, model the faith after children. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes as adults, we get older and we're almost too smart for our own good sometimes, right? What about this? What about this? What about this? But for children, man, when you see that belief and faith that they have, it doesn't matter about any arguments, rebuttals. Sometimes children hear of Jesus, simply Jesus dying for them on the cross, and you know what? That's enough, because it is, and that's how we should be. They have a beautiful picture for us of what it means to believe. And so I love this address here because he's celebrating children. And I hope that for us as a church, that we want children to be here. That we want to celebrate children as a church, right? We want the kids running around and feeling welcomed and comfortable and loved in the church building. Pastor Josh, the lead pastor of the River out in Goodrich, he shared, if you want to see a healthy church or a growing church, go look at their kids' ministry. There's so many churches that have zero kids. And unfortunately, that means that church is dying. There's no next generation to keep learning and growing and being the next leaders in the church. And so for us here, we want to celebrate children. We want children being in the gathering. That's why we're going to do the egg hunt here in just a few weeks around Easter time. So we do trunk or treat. That's why I'm so excited for David and what's going to happen in the kids' ministry. And for every single kids volunteer, because you are blessed by the Lord to go and do that. I've said all the time, that is not my calling. I'll maybe teach VBS. I could not be an every week children's pastor. It's an amazing ministry. And I'm just going to give a shameless plug. If you want to serve in the kids' ministry, we need help. We will always need help to the end of time. Go love those kids. Be crazy with them. I know David, Joanne, all the volunteers, they would love to have more help. Please go and talk with them. But it's a wonderful thing. We want kids here. The childlike faith that knows all that I need is my Father. Makes me think of our son Isaac, my wife and I son Isaac. Lately, when he gets lost, we don't lose him all the time, but if he does get lost, he kind of like got out of that mindset. Like before he got lost, he would just be in his own world. He's like, whatever, they'll find me, right? I don't know if that's what he was thinking, but he's just like, he wouldn't freak out. But lately, if he's gotten lost, it's like instantly, where's mom and dad? Mom, dad, big crowd of people. And the second he sees us, everything's fine. Doesn't matter anyone else is around him. What else is going on? All he had to see was mom and dad. And everything was okay. That's the type of faith that we should have. Through all the storms of life, all the craziness that happens, maybe it's a loss of a job or struggles in families or a sin struggle you're having, all you need to do is see your Father. Have that faith, your heavenly Father, and know everything's okay if you have him. But here in this verse, if we keep looking through, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. This, I think, is probably the key here to understanding how children live this out, why it's so important. Because the call is simple here as we're raising up our kids. As you're raising up your kids in your family, no matter what age they are, right, or in the kids' ministry, we want them to know what in the Lord means. That is by far and away the most important thing that we need children to learn. Because the call is simple. To be in the Lord means trust Jesus as your Savior. Every single week in the kids' ministry, in student ministry, at our trunk or treats, egg hunts, we are going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because before we go anywhere else, we need them to know that. What does in the Lord mean? In your families, your main goal as parents should be to raise up your children to be in the Lord. If you've done that, man, you've won. That's your most important job. Make sure they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And as Paul here says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He's saying this means the gospel truth is not too hard for them. Gospel truth, it's not too much for them. It's not over their head. Children can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we shouldn't water it down. We shouldn't avoid teaching them that, right? That's why we view kids' ministry. It shouldn't just be get them out of our sight and have them watched for an hour so that we can have some peace and quiet. In your family, right, you should view that time as so important when you do devotionals and pray, because the gospel truth is not too much for them. And even thinking about this, as the letter was being read, right, I said the pastors would read the letters given to them. Call to mind some of the verses that Ephesians already wrote out. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Man, Ephesians is, it's just permeating with the gospel. And he's addressing children here. He's saying, listen to what I just said. This truth is not too much for you. The gospel truth can still penetrate a child's heart, even if they don't know anything else. And that's what we need to be raising up our children to know. The pure, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. That we were conceived in iniquity, dead in our trespasses and sin, marred by our sin nature, deserving of an eternal punishment in hell because we have rebelled against a holy God. But the gospel truth that Christ died for us. That every single one of us, no matter how young we are or how old we are loved infinitely by God the Father because he sent his Son to die for us. You have redemption. You have a new life, identity, association, relationship with God Almighty because of what Jesus did. And when we are teaching our children, when we're raising them up, we want them to know what in the Lord means. And all that is, it's not being a Bible scholar. It's not going to enough Bible studies or attending church enough. It's seeing Jesus lifted up, raised for our sins, crucified, buried, and risen, and saying, you know what? He's all I need for the forgiveness of my sins. He's my everything, my treasure. That truth is not too hard for them. And that's what we need to be raising up our children to know. And this truth, I think it's great because as we look at this, and again, this isn't just an address to children, it's for all of us. Because all of us at some point had parents, right? And regardless of who your parents are, no matter what age of life or stage of life you're in, regardless of who your parents are, here's this truth for you. You have a heavenly Father who loves you so much. You have a heavenly Father whose love is here for you, that will never be taken away from you, that will always be yours, and that will be so much greater than any other love this world can show you. And that's for the people who don't have a good relationship with their parents. Maybe you never knew your parents. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe they didn't try. The truth here is that you have a heavenly Father who sent his only Son, perfect and eternal, to die for you. You have been predestined, chosen, adopted in love. This God loves you so much. And he's always here for you. To be in the Lord, the most important thing for you. And truthfully, that's so important why we started with the husband and wife those first 2 weeks. So important why they, mom and dad, are modeling Christ for their children. So important that you are being that model of Jesus in their life. Because every single morning you wake up, you have an opportunity to show them what the gospel of Jesus Christ looks like. Every day that they're under your roof, you have the opportunity to show them Christ's love so that they grow up to know Jesus, so that they grow up to be in the Lord. The next part of that verse I want to look at is where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now, to understand here, the word obey that is given in the Greek, it goes deeper than the word for submission. Right? So submission, we talked about that with the wife. It's this submission and reverence for Christ. It's this respect that the wife gives to the husband, right? Wanting to willingly lay down that submission as Christ submitted to the Father's will. But the word for obey here goes deep. It's stronger than that word. It's referring to like an absolute obedience that the children would give to the parents. Now, sometimes, I was reading through this in the book we have for this month, which again, shameless plug. If you want to get that book, it is very beneficial. There are study guides that go through our verses. There's devotions. You can buy one at the guest services desk, or you can just read it for free online. They're really great. But Pastor Phil, who wrote this week's lesson, he shared, you know, sometimes the Bible is vague. And isn't that the truth? Where you read it and you're like, what is going on? I love when you guys bring those questions to me because I also have the same questions. I go, I don't know. But let's look it up together, I guess. We'll study through this. Sometimes the Bible is hard. But not here. Here it's pretty simple. Children, when you're meant to obey in the Lord, because it's right. It's right to do so. It is good to do so. Now, I don't always think the best way to raise children is, right, just to say, because I said so, even though so many times that's all I want to say, right, especially when I've explained it 5 or 6 times. I'm like, you know what? Because I said so. Let's just move on. Right, it's good to teach children why, right? Why are we wanting them to obey? Why are we wanting them to do these things? But in this instance, I think this is a perfectly good explanation. Right? If we're raising up our children and the Bible says, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is good, that's all we need. You should see those words and go, it is right and it is good for you to obey. That's it. Why? Because God commands it. The Bible says it. The Word tells us here. The Word of God says, children, obey your parents, for it is right. I'm going to say that again. The Word of God says that. You want that to have force? Well, we need to teach our kids how important this Word is. It is the eternal words of God. God Almighty from eternity's past, who made everything in this world, gave us his word to follow him. Do we view it with that importance? Do we view it in this way as parents, as leaders in the church? I can promise you, if it's not that important to you, it won't be that important to them. We need to have that reverence for the Word of God and understand this is God's words meant to lead us to him, show us his love, teach us in the ways in which we should go. But something that I think we're seeing as children are being raised up, it's an increasing issue with this next generation of children, is that not enough of this is happening. The truths in scriptures aren't being taught. This understanding that it is right to obey because the word says it is not being given. Children are being told they know best. We just got to listen to children. They know what is best for them, for the world, even their own bodies. And that dangerous truth that is happening where it's like, you know, if a kid says this, this is who they are, we just got to listen to it. Saw a clip earlier this week. It was, blew my mind. Teacher saying, you know what, if a kid says this is who they are, well, then we as teachers are going to tell parents, you better respect that or else we're going to, you know, call CPS, whatever it is. It's this thought that's coming. They just know what is best. It's not the case. It's leading into so much confusion, so much identity crises that are happening. Look at the studies of identity crises in the younger generations. Man, it is destroying our kids' lives. They don't know what is best. That's hard to hear as a kid. Because sometimes you think you do, especially when you get in that high school, even middle school age. Believe me, I was there. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. It is right for the children to obey their parents. Because oftentimes, this is a general principle, almost read this as a proverb, oftentimes the parents know what is best. Perfect? By no means. Flawed? Absolutely. But this general principle applies where the parents are meant to love their kids and lead them up in this way. Right? When the parent says, wear a seatbelt, obey that because it's for your safety. When the parents say, don't watch that show, because what that show is going to teach you is going to lead you into sin. It's going to lead you into bad habits. The parents oftentimes know what is best. When they see those friends you hang out with, believe me, I know it's hard to tell. Parents can almost read these things sometimes. They know that friend you got, he's a turd. Just listen to him. Believe me, save you a bunch of headaches. You'll get older, you'll get there, you'll understand. There was one time I was in elementary school. And by second or third grade, I get invited to this Halloween party with my friends. His parents are hosting. I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be sweet. So I tell my dad, I'm like, please, can you drop me off? He's like, yeah, for sure, no problem. You know, I think it'd be fun for you. We'll spend the night. And we pull up. And at this party, there's high schoolers, there's college-age kids, there's his parents. Every single one of them is drinking. And it's one of those parties. Right? They're all just drinking, getting drunk. And my dad just kind of sits there, he parks the car, and he's like, what's going on? Dad walks up to the window. He's like, hey, you can just drop him off here, pick him up in the morning, no problem. My dad's like, yeah, it's not happening. I ain't dropping my kid off here. And I remember being so mad. I'm like, why are you not letting me go hang out with my friend? You hate me. They're going to hate me. I'm going to lose all my friends. But looking back on it, ain't no way I'd be dropping off my son at that either. It's right to obey. It is good, as the Lord says it. But this also means parents need to teach our children how to obey. We need to show our children what this means. Why it's important.
What's the purpose? It's for their good. We need to teach these. Now, next week, David's going to dive into that, which I'm so excited for. He's going to be preaching the sermon here. So I'm trying not to step on his toes a little too much, but he's going to dive into that a lot next week. But we need to teach them how to obey. The last two verses here, Ephesians 6, 2 through 3. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now again, there's a general principle that is given here. Again, almost read it as if a proverb. You read a proverb, it's not necessarily a one-for-one, this is always going to happen. But it's a general truth here that we get with the blessing of following parents, obeying and honoring parents. And that principle is God always rewards obedience. God always rewards obedience. Before you jump down my throat, I'm going to explain it. This isn't prosperity gospel. But he's quoting here Exodus chapter 20, the giving of the Ten Commandments. This is the fifth commandment. It's the first commandment with a promise, right? So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, he says this. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now what's important to note here is that this commandment, this promise, is not specifically for an individual. This isn't just specifically for one person, right? God's not saying he's giving the land to one person. He says in the land he's going to give you. He's speaking to the people of Israel. Right? So the giving of the Ten Commandments, Moses on Mount Sinai comes back down, reads the Ten Commandments. This is a truth for the people. Right, he says, honor your father and mother so that it may go good in the land, right? The promised land that God's going to give you. So they've been freed from Egyptian bondage. They crossed the Red Sea, and God says, this land, I'm going to give you this land. And so he's giving here a general principle that if you honor your father and mother, you do what is right, God will bless the people. Now, unfortunately, what happens? They go and spy out the land. The surveyors come back, they're afraid, they give a false report. And the children and the rest of the people of Israel wander for 40 years. And then again in Deuteronomy 4:40, it says, therefore, you shall keep his statutes and his commandments. So again, the Deuteronomy, the giving of the law twice, speaking to the people of Israel again. These kids are now older. They're the ones going to inherit the land. He says, therefore, you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may prolong your days in the land, and that the Lord your God, or that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Again, we see this phrase, the land that God is giving you. He's saying, giving you the people of Israel. You, these children who've been wandering for 40 years. My people that I have called out of slavery, that I have become their God, giving the land to you. It is this general call for obedience in the nation of Israel. And if they will follow the Lord their God with their whole heart, they will be blessed. And you read through the Old Testament so many times, right? Follow the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and you will be blessed. It will go good for you in the land. But then the opposite is true as well. If you are a stiff-necked people, if you rebel against God, if you worship those idols, punishment, curse will come upon you. So Paul is not reiterating the promise with this quoting of a verse by saying, obey your parents and you will live long and happy lives. That's not the truth we're seeing here. But he's rather calling us to look at the nation of Israel. Look at that general call for obedience and promise with being obedient. Joseph says with the nation of Israel when he says, if you obey, it will go good for you. The same is true for us as we follow our parents, as we obey and honor our parents. It will go good for you if you obey the Lord and what he tells you to do. He's saying if you, looking at our families, right? View this. He's looking at all the families here in Ephesians 5 and 6. If you and your families will obey God as he's commanded in Scripture, then you will be blessed. Now, the truth and the caveat with that is God determines what that looks like. And let me tell you, no matter what it is, it's always in the best way. God always blesses in the best way possible. For some people, it will look like prosperity. And it'll be this blessing of material riches that are meant to be used to give glory to God and to help the poor. For some people, this is important for the kids to hear as you're raised up in this. It'll be like Stephen in Acts, where his beautiful reward was being martyred for the faith. His reward for proclaiming the gospel and following God's call was to be associated with Christ in his sufferings. And for being received in glory to be with his Savior forever. Both are an absolute blessing. But not only that, the general rule applies here as well. That children who obey and honor their parents will live longer and better. Simply put, safety from harm. Right? If we follow and obey our parents who know they've been through things, have experience, right? Again, wear your seatbelt. Don't be in that situation. Don't be crazy when you first start to drive. Saves us from harm. Protection from bad habits and bad friends. Again, if your parents are discerning, understanding, hey, that group you hang out with, not the best. Saves you from bad habits and bad friends. You listen and obey your parents in that way. More likely to develop healthy character traits. Learning this obedience, learning how to follow and honor your mom and dad. You'll develop those healthy character traits that you will need as you get in the workforce. As you get married one day, Lord willing, or have children one day, Lord willing. Now, I do believe this is important for both the children and the parents to hear this message. Because for the children in here, being obedient is very hard. This is in all areas, work, in the church, with the Lord. Being obedient can be difficult. I can tell you this, it's only going to get harder as you get older. Being obedient is difficult. And especially if you're going to follow the Lord, right? That in the Lord part, that's so important. If you are going to surrender your life to Jesus, and if you're going to believe that he has died for your sins, raised for your forgiveness. As you follow Christ longer, you will only experience more suffering. That's what the Bible tells us. Man, our reward is to be associated with Christ, to suffer for his name. It will get harder to be obedient in those times when you experience the loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, persecution from the enemy. As those times come, it can be hard to be obedient to what God has called you to. So therefore, learn it now. And learn it now when you're under your parents' protection, when you're in your parents' home. Learn how to develop this habit of understanding a submission to authority. Because you're going to have to submit to the governing authorities, to your boss one day, to your pastor. Husbands and wives to learn these things. Learn these traits now and it will go good for you later on in life. Be willing to set aside your pride, your thoughts, and receive the training and instruction your parents are giving you. Because I promise you, as I'm sure they're telling you as well, you will get to their spot one day and they will say, man, I wish I would have listened to my parents. Because I know that's what I'm going to say to my kids as they get older. It's right, it's good. Therefore, obey your parents. Now, for parents, teach your children how to obey. Teach them this truth. Again, next week, David's going to dive into that. So excited for him to preach here. I think it's going to be amazing. But parents, teach them what it means to obey. Show them how you obey as to the Lord. Be that picture for them. Do you obey the authorities over you? Do you obey the Lord in all areas of your life? We need to be that picture for our children. And truthfully, in the church, we all can be that picture together as well. Because that saying is true, it takes a village to raise the kids. We should be that together as the family of God. And Lord willing, we will have more young couples and more babies. I love seeing it. I love seeing more kids here. And there's a lot of you whose kids are older. Maybe you're gone. You have a lot of things to pass on down for us as younger parents. That's why that discipleship is so important. That mentorship is so important. But as parents, we need to teach our children how to obey. We need to be raising up children in this generation, in this church, to know the Lord, to know what it means to obey the Lord, to follow his commands. We should be the clearest picture to our children of a faithful, God-fearing follower of Christ. I hope that's what our challenge will be this week as parents, maybe grandparents, maybe aunt, uncle, whoever the Lord's placed in your life to help lead and raise up. Teach them to obey the Lord and to know him and to love him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. And I thank you so much for this opportunity to preach your word. I thank you for the blessing of children in my family and the church family. It's so amazing. And I just pray this week, Lord, as we continue to go through this family month, as we are being challenged as husbands and wives, parents and children, as we continue to try and grow in our relationships with you, please help us where we fail. Help us where we lack. Give us what we need to be able to follow your word faithfully with our whole life. Lord, we love you so much. I pray this all in the very precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.